ॐ हरिः ॐ तत्सत् श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः हरिः ॐ सदाशिवसमारम्भाम् व्यासशङ्करमत्यान्तम् न विदुःसुरासुरगणाः देवाय तस्मै नमः ॐ श्री परमात्मने नमः। कर्मसन्न्यासयोगो नाम पञ्चमोऽध्यायः। यु रिमेम्बर् फोर्थ् चाप्टर्स् टैटल् वास् ज्ञानकर्मसन्न्यासः and the fifth chapter's title is karma sanyasaha or sanyasaha. What is the meaning? In fourth chapter, vidvat sanyasa was discussed. In fifth chapter, sanyasa lifestyle, vividesha sanyasa is discussed. The fifth chapter, the sanyasa mentioned is vividesha sanyasaha. In fourth chapter, Vidvat Sanyasaha. But ultimately, whether a person chooses to live a life of householder after a brahmacharya, or a person chooses to live a life of sannyasa, ultimately, the people of both lifestyles, a householder and a sannyasi, whether a person directly chooses to live as a sannyasa, or he goes through the householder's life and goes through all the ashramas, finally comes to sannyasa. Ultimately, what is to be accomplished by a karma yogi and a sannyasi is the mokshaha, through knowledge. What is to be accomplished ultimately is the knowledge. The goal is the same. That is made clear here. And whether a person, by going through karma yoga, by going through sannyasa, by going through vanaprastha, by going through all the ashramas, or skipping ashrama by going to sannyasa directly. Anyway, ultimately, a spiritual person is the one who has purushartha nischaya, who is committed to the pursuit of knowledge, who lives a life of dharma, and who is given to the study of the scriptures. Ultimately, he discovers the truth. And by discovering the truth, as a wise person, a karma yogi or a sannyasi, whoever it is, that person is real sannyasi, because even if he's involved in his activities, still he is a non-performer, because he's free from the notion, the doership notion. I am the doer, I'm the enjoyer. So we have seen now the fifth verse, and Bhagwan makes it very clear. Arjuna asked, which of these two lifestyles, suppose a person gives up after brahmacharya, he skips the other ashramas, and directly he wants to become a monk and chooses to live a life sannyasa, in order to know, not as a jnani, in order to know, if a person wants to totally commit himself to the pursuit of knowledge, then if you have that mind, okay, if you have that firmness, I want jnanam, only jnanam, that maturity is there. I don't want anything else. Such a seriousness is there. Then a person can choose to live life as sannyasa. Then the person must be able to spend all his time only in studying the shastra. And such a person's basic needs definitely will be taken care of. And so which is that lifestyle better? Or living a life of karma householder? Or better, don't be too serious. You can accomplish moksha. You can accomplish jnanam. You can have jnanam as your ultimate goal. Still you can choose to live a life of a householder. As a married person, live a life of karma yoga. So, which of these two lives is better? Arjuna asked. Bhagavan quickly said, sannyasat karma yogaha visishyate. Living, going through life of householder, living a life of life as a grihastha, life karma yogi is better. In fact, it excels. And why? Because even there, whether a person lives life karma yoga or a sannyasa, doesn't matter. They're equally great. There's no difference between them. Only immature people say that is different, this is different. Even the lifestyles are different. Ultimate goal is one and the same, jnanam, which is mokshaha. So Bhagavan said, what that goal, ultimate end, absolute end, what is that which is to be ultimately accomplished by living a life of a sannyasa? By choosing to live a life of sannyasa, depriving oneself of the pleasures enjoyable in householder's life and freeing oneself from social obligatory duties, what is that a person has to accomplish ultimately? Jnanam. Moksha. The same jnanam, same moksha is accomplishable for a karma yogi also, for a grihastha also. Therefore, they equally, there's no difference. Yad yogam sankhyaihi gamyate, tad yogaihi api gamyate. Now you'll understand Sanskrit, simple Sanskrit. Gamyate is accomplished, is attained. If you take the meaning of the word gachati as attains, instead of going, gamyate is attained, is accomplished. Kim gamyate? Yes, sthanam gamyate. Sthanam, the end, the ultimate end, you know, accomplished. Sthanam gamyate. Yat sthanam sankhyaihi gamyate, that ultimate end, absolute end, in terms of jnanam, or the vision of the oneness of reality, vision of a clear doubt-free vision of one's own real nature, being the only reality of the whole universe. That vision of the truth, vision of the fact of oneself being non-separate from Bhagavan, Ishvara. That vision is the ultimate end, which itself is moksha. And that sthanam, which is accomplishable by sannyasi, which is accomplished sannyasi, is also accomplished by people of household, the householders who live a life of karma yoga. Yat sthanam sankhyaihi gamyate, that end which is accomplished by sannyasis is also accomplished by yogaihi, householders who live a life of karma yoga. The word yogaha there means the householder who lives the life of karma yoga is mentioned by the word yogaha. It means sometimes the word yoga has so many different meanings, different contexts. So yogaha is the person who as householder lives the life of karma yoga. So there are many people, okay? Yogaihi api gamyate. Therefore, sankhyam yogam cha ekam yah pashyati sapashyati. Therefore, the person who really sees clearly the non-difference in the ultimate end to be accomplished by a householder and a sannyasi is the one who really sees, means on, he knows clearly things. He has clear understanding. See, Shastra teaching is so clear. There cannot be any ambiguity, confusion, vagueness at all. If there's any vagueness, it is not in the teaching. The problem may be with the teacher or with the student, not with the Shastra. Okay? The teacher should not have clear vagueness. It's supposed to be very clear. And student also must be very clear if you, student listens to the teacher systematically. Which means Shastram is always flawless. Shastram to dosha rahitam. It is ever flawless. Scripture, that is the reverence we have for Veda Shastram. In India, three acharyas became very popular. No way. Shankara, Madhva, Ramanujacharya. Because all the three of them are Vaidikas. All of them accept, even though the final thing, they has difference in their view of, you know, the true, the duality or non-duality or qualified duality, etc. Still, as far as dharma is concerned, all the acharyas emphasize the same thing. Dharma is emphasized by every acharya. No acharya will say, okay, live as you like. No, all of them say, live a life enjoined by the shastra. That is the, so Veda is ever flawless. Anyway, so, now we'll use next new verse today. Bhagavan continues. Sanyasastu mahabaho dukkhamaptuma yogatah yoga yukto munir brahma nachirenadhigachati. So Bhagavan says in this verse, hey Mahabaho Arjuna, why I'm saying karma yoga excels? Why? Householder's life, living a life of a grihastha, going through a life of a grihastha ashrama, choosing to live a life of karma yoga is always better. Why? Because by living a life of karma yoga, you are going to accomplish only jnanam and moksha. Because living a life of karma yoga itself is like a living sannyasa only. It takes tremendous amount of shraddha on the part of the person who lives life of karma yoga. It's not an easy joke. Because the living life of karma yoga means no fraction of second Bhagavan as order, a universal order is forgotten. Every fraction of second Bhagavan is remembered. Bhagavan fills your life. So it's a great life. And Bhagavan says here, therefore, instead of choosing to live a life as a grihastha karma yogi, if a person chooses to live a sannyasa, what happens? Sannyasaha tu, he says, dukkham aptum, which means aptum dukkham, means what now? It is difficult to live a life of sannyasa. Okay, a lifestyle. The vividisha sannyasa. Okay. Once jnanam is there is vidvat sannyasa. Whether you're a householder or a sannyasi, every wise person is a jnani. Even if he's a sannyasi, even if he is a grihastha. Why? How he is a sannyasi? Because he is free from all wrong notions about the self. There is no self for him. All that is, there is only Bhagavan in his vision. All that is, there is only the truth, only Brahma for him. There is no, ahankara is totally resolved. So I am the doer, I am the enjoyer, notions are all gone. Therefore he is a sannyasi, real sannyasi. But that's a different thing. But here, vividisha sannyasi, if a person chooses to live a life of sannyasa in order to accomplish jnanam, totally commit himself to the pursuit of knowledge, it is not an easy joke, because aptum dukkham, it is very difficult to live a life of sannyasa if a person is not adequately mature, is not prepared or qualified. Ayogataha dukkham. Okay? One must be really prepared to lead such a life. Because people may have their own perceptions, they may have their own views, they have their own problems, because of the society, and they have their own perceptions, their expectations, and you know, they will throw any sort of blows and all those things. Still, you must be very, very unshakable. You must be unshakable, because only sannyasi's only strength is total commitment to Bhagavan and jnanam and shastram. There's no dependence emotionally upon society. Even though for food and shelter and clothing, sannyasi's depend on society, emotionally, sannyasi is not dependent on society because sannyasi is dependent only upon shastra. Which means whatever the society's reactions and actions and behavior, you must be very strong not to react, not to be shaken. It's very important. Only then sannyasa. So if you are not prepared, you are going to react, you know, then you can't have the same people again in the class, people who react to you. You have to smile at them, accommodate them, understand them. You have to welcome them, always. But others cannot do that. A sannyasi should be able to do that. Okay? It's all because of the maturity only. So, what Krishna says here, yogam dukkham aptum dukkham ayogataha. A person is not prepared, it's difficult for a person to live a sannyasa. So, on what he says, what is better, Arjuna? He says, yoga yuktaha munihi nachirena brahma adhigachyati. Look at this here, he says. Yoga yuktaha is another expression for karma yogi. Yoga yuktaha means the person who is endowed with the proper attitude. The person who is integrated minded. The person who lives a life of karma yoga. Such a person is said to be Munihi. Bhagavan Krishna praises a householder karma yogi as Munihi. Munihi means we all think, Muni means in those days in India, as a child, they give carpets and pen, paper, okay, draw a Muni. If they say, immediately we'll put a person, we'll put on small, no, tuft on the head. Muni means, Muni means any child will draw Muni. India, they'll put on one person the beard and also one small tuft on the thing. And with some you know, simple clothing. Muni means the mind, buddhi has grasped that picture. But Bhagavan says, Munihi means manana shilaha munihi. Who is Munihi? Manana shilaha munihi. One who is very prudent, conscious, thoughtful. Before doing, who is thoughtful of what he is doing. And one who is non-reactive. One who is accommodative. And one who tries to remain the same without allowing himself to be now dejected and elated. And one who is capable of thinking properly is said to be Munihi. One who entertains the meditative disposition of the mind is Munihi. Okay? And Bhagavan says, Yoga Yuktaha Munihi. The person who lives a life of a grihastha as a householder, but still he lives a life of karma yoga. And such a person is a Munihi. And a Munihi, he attains Brahma. Brahma adhigachati. He also attains Brahma. He attains Brahma means what? Attains Brahma means he attains the knowledge of Brahma. We understand you can never attain Brahma. You cannot attain Brahma. You need not attain Brahma because Brahma implies reality. Vastu. How can you attain Brahma? Why? Because you are, your own real nature is Brahma. Essentially, you are Brahma already. How can you attain yourself? Attainment is always of something which is away from you, which is other than yourself. Therefore, Brahman is one thing you cannot attain, you need not attain. Because the truth. So, attainment of Brahma means attainment of knowledge of Brahma. So, Brahma adhigachyati means this person attains knowledge of Brahma. Who attains knowledge of Brahma? Karma yogi. Yoga yuktaha. Householder who lives a life of karma yoga. And who is, Munihi. Hacha person Brahma adhigachyati means he attains knowledge of Brahman. That is what sannyasi also does, supposed to attain. And how does he attain? Nachirena. No, without any delay. Chirena means after long time. Nachirena means without any delay, means before long. He also accomplishes Brahma without taking too long a time. He also attains Arjuna Brahma. So what is the hint here for Arjuna? You choose to live a life of a householder as a karma yogi. Don't think of running away from here to any ashram or any jungle to be a sannyasi. No, because you can accomplish as a householder here itself. Okay. See, in this verse, we carefully notice. So, yoga yuktaha munihi nachirena brahma adhigachyati. See, chirena means he after long time, it takes very long for him to attain knowledge of Brahma. But Krishna says, nachirena, nachirena, achirena, nachirena means without delay, means without taking too long a time. A karma yogi grihastha also he also has that disposition of the mind that he also attains knowledge of Brahman soon. That's the meaning. Like any sannyasi. Why? Because karma yoga, living life karma yoga prepares his mind. He becomes emotionally mature, adequately prepared. He can manage his emotions. He can remain balanced with the relation, dejection, all situations. So he can avoid mental disturbance, mental not trauma. So he's steady and stable. Therefore, and being emotionally stable person, intellectually also he is sharper. Therefore, what is accomplishable for a sannyasi, he accomplishes. Sometimes people who take to life sannyasa may not accomplish because they're not qualified. If they're not qualified, whereas a karma yogi cannot miss it because he definitely becomes prepared and he accomplishes jnanam. Okay, all young boys, lesson for all of you also, because I get a lot of emails from the Netherlands. Young boys write to me, Swami, I want to become monk. What is becoming monk? Why do you want to become monk? I said, go take up a job and work. Don't go to the government for any help. Young people become parasites, government parasites on government. It's indiscipline. And somehow they found it. They heard this, so you can go to India and become monks. So what are you going to do then after becoming a monk? I tell them, better go look for a job and find, first of all, start earning your bread and butter. That is, you know, Thomas has to go. You must become active first to slow down. Okay. You cannot jump from, you know, being tamasic to the wisdom. Okay. It's all fancy ideas. So Bhagavan emphasizes here. Yoga yuktaha munihi nachirena brahma adhigachyati. Don't forget this. Okay. So here, Bhagavan actually presents another new message. See, if you see, until the previous verse, Bhagavan emphatically said that ashramas, sannyasa ashramaha and grihastha ashramaha, both ashramas, both stages of life are equally important, equally great, equally effective, and because the end accomplished is the same. Which means, if you see both the ashramas, if you look at them with objectively, if you see them, definitely those lifestyles are definitely highly effective, equally important, equally great. Like what? Suppose if we do medicine or engineering or physics or chemistry or mathematics, which subject is good, which is bad? Every subject matter is equally important, equally good. Nothing is unimportant, nothing is superior, nothing is like that. Everything has its own importance, its own use. But here, we can't say one is superior, one is inferior. Therefore, similarly, Bhagavan also said both lifestyles, both the ashramas are equally great, important. If you understand the purpose served by those lifestyles, what is the purpose of a person choosing to live a life of a householder, living a life of karma yoga? Then what is the purpose of a monk, a person choosing to live a life of sannyasa? The purpose is clear. Then even though what the purpose served by two different lifestyle is different, but the goal to be accomplished is the same. Therefore, both are equally very important and useful. Both serve their purposes. So here, in both the lifestyles, hardships are there, difficulties are there. In both lifestyles, certain problems are there. But now, Bhagavan says, even though both lifestyles are equally effective and great, if we look at these two lifestyles in terms of mental preparation required for jnanam, Bhagavan says, he says, karma yoga is better, is more efficacious, he says, in fact. And if the preparation, a person chooses sannyasa, then he is neither there nor here. A person without being qualified for living life sannyasa, without adequate maturity, a person chooses to live life sannyasa, he cannot become prepared because he is not living life karma yoga, which is the only means of preparing the mind. And even though he looks as outside, looks as like a sannyasi, he is not qualified, therefore he cannot attain jnanam also. So he cannot accomplish any end. His life will become a waste. Isn't it? That's why it is difficult. So better one chooses to, so Bhagavan really wants here. You know, it is not simply wearing saffron robes outside. The purpose of living a sannyasa should get served, which means if a person is not prepared, better one has to live a life of karma yoga as a grihastha. But even if a person lives life karma yoga and he is what? He has that meditative, contemplative disposition of the mind and still he is a person who can remain, he can be in society with the family, but still he can live in seclusion. You know, and he can be silent also. He is busy, but he can be silent also because of his maturity. That is why manana shilaha munihi, mauna shilaha api munihi. Mauna shilaha, maunat munihi, mauna shilatvat munihi. The person who is not disturbed, therefore who is silent, is called Munihi. The person who is thoughtful, therefore he is also called Munihi. Who has a meditative disposition of the mind, he is called Munihi. Okay? Therefore, one who doesn't need to speak much, because living of karma yoga means you are very conscious of what you are saying. Therefore, you speak, what you speak is only what is useful for you, for other person, only relevant, only truth. If you take this, then there's no need for you to talk much. You become effortlessly silent. That doesn't mean you don't speak at all. You speak enough. What is useful? Hitam, for you or for other person. Priyam, what is pleasant? And satyam, what is truthful? Okay, truth. So you speak the truth. As a karma yogi, a person speaks the truth, speaks the pleasant words, and speaks relevant, what is relevant and what is useful. Okay, then if you are conscious of these four disciplines, what is speak must be the truth, what is speak must be hitam, okay, plus useful for the person who listens to me or for me, the one who speaks. Then it must be definitely pleasant. It should not be unpleasant, hurtful. Then it must be relevant. If you think of the four, if you follow these four factors, then you cannot speak much. Then it means there's no pressure. The karma yogi is the one who is free from pressure of wanting to talk because of his discipline. You know, because of his value of the value he has for jnanam and moksha, because of his commitment to dharma and Bhagavan, he's conscious of what he's speaking. There's no pressure of wanting to talk much. Therefore, he's also mauna shilaha. The munihi in his two important aspects, manana shilaha, one who entertains the contemplative, meditative disposition of the mind, without being undisturbed minded. And therefore he is also mauna shilaha. So maunat manana munihi. Such a karma yogi becomes qualified easily for jnanam and accomplishes jnanam and moksha. Achirena nachirena brahma adhigacchati. Therefore, Bhagavan emphasizes here that grihastha ashramaha, householder's life as a karma yogi is the most ideal lifestyle for the entire society, 99.9% of society. And for very few people, sannyasa lifestyle is appropriate. So, sannyasaha is not something taken, which is to be taken, okay, by the advice of other person. Parents, elders, gurus, friends, nobody should recommend. It's not a lifestyle chosen, recommended by other people. Sannyasa is definitely not recommended. Okay? And it is something that there is some sort of understanding between the teacher and the student. Some concurrence is there, you know, with the teacher and the student. Only then the sannyasa is actually given to the student by the teacher. Therefore, there's no such a thing called, you know, sannyasa. Somebody decides, okay, my teacher decided for me sannyasa. No. Teacher cannot decide sannyasa for you. Parent, no, it can't be given to you. It's not given to you. Okay. You are not taking it also. It is the mental disposition, condition. If a person, now if you are mature, it comes naturally. That's what is a fact we have to understand here. Okay, well, let us continue with this next verse now. Yoga yukto vishuddhatma vijitatma jitendriyah. Yoga yukto vishuddhatma vijitatma jitendriyah. Sarva bhutatma bhutatma kurvannapina lipyate. Yoga yukto vishuddhatma vijitatma jitendriyah. Sarva bhutatma bhutatma kurvannapina lipyate. Okay, how should one live one's life? Whether you choose to be a grihastha, live a life of karma yoga, or whether a person chooses to live a life of sannyasa, how should one live one's life ultimately? That Bhagavan says here. If it is very clear, I'm living this life ultimately for moksha. I'm convinced of my ultimate end being discovery of freedom, which is already there as my own nature, for which I need to understand the truth in terms of Bhagavan as my own self. And for which I only need to prepare my mind, and Shastra Pramanam will help me discover that. That is very clear. How should one live one's life? That is Bhagavan says here. See, yoga yuktaha vishuddhatma vijitatma jitendriyaha sarvabhuta atmabhuta atma kurvan api na lipyate. He says, yoga yuktaha means a person who lives a life of karma yoga. Yoga yuktaha, person who lives a life of karma yoga, a karma yogi. Means the person who entertains a proper attitude in doing his activities, who has proper attitude in facing, in accepting situations in life, and who is totally committed to the pursuit of dharma, whose will has been surrendered to Bhagavan of dharma, who is very thoughtful before doing, and whose life is governed by his knowledge of right and wrong dharma, whose actions are governed by his knowledge of right and wrong, whose likes and dislikes, whose emotions are well managed by his commitment to dharma, such a person is karma yogi, yoga yuktaha. And yoga yuktaha, karma yogi, what here is, no, he is vishuddha atma. Vishuddha atma. Vishuddha atma means pure minded. I told you, only in jnanam a person can be absolutely pure minded. Absolute mental purity is possible only in knowledge. That is, leave that. Until one accomplishes jnanam, your person lives a life of karma yoga. Whether a person is sannyasi or a karma yogi, with the commitment to purusha, the jnanam, your person lives a life of karma yoga means he must be relatively pure minded. The person pure minded means he is not disturbed by jealousy, hatred, anger, fear, anxiety, hurt, guilt, what others think of me, others say about me. You know, all these problems. But I'm not, it is not easy to not to be like that. But that's why karma yoga means that preparedness will be such. So one who is not disturbed by the emotions, one whose emotions are well managed, not resolved for good, but well managed, because of his commitment to dharma, because of his Ishwararpana buddhi, because of his prasada buddhi, because of his non-reactive, all-accommodative nature, this person is relatively pure-minded. So, Vishuddha Atma. Then, Vijita Atma. Vijita Atma, Vishuddha Atma. Both words are used. So, Vijita Atma, Vishuddha Atma, Vijita Atma. And Jita Indriyaha. So, Vijita Atma means, because this person is pure minded, he has mastery over his mind. Vijitaha Atma Yena. The one by whom mind has been conquered. Actually, Vijita Atma means conqueror of one's own mind. The word Atma sometimes means mind. Be careful, okay? Where Atma means all-pervasive consciousness, the self, or where it means the mind, you must be very careful about it. Therefore, so here we say, Vijita Atma means the one who has conquered his mind, conqueror of one's own mind. A person, only a jnani is said to be absolute conqueror of mind. But person who lives like karma yoga, or a person who is a sannyasi, must have conquered one's mind relatively. Okay? So, one who has mastery over his mind is said to be Vijita Atma. And one who is pure-minded is one who is not disturbed by his emotions, one who can manage his emotions, is said to be the conqueror of his emotions, the mind. So, Vishuddha Atma is the Vijita Atma. Ashuddha, we say, Ashuddha Atma is what? Slave of the mind. So, Vishuddha Atma, Vijita Atma. And Jita Indriyaha, Jitendriyaha. Jitendriyaha, Indriyani Jitani Yena. Now I can tell you, because Sanskrit you have gone that far, no? Indriyani Jitani Yena. The one by whom senses have been mastered. One who has mastery over his sense organs. Not only if a person has mastery over his ways of thinking, the thoughts and emotions, one who manages his likes and dislikes, etc., and definitely he can have mastery over his sense organs also. What does it mean by saying having mastery over one's sense organs? Please understand here. In knowledge, you'll have absolute mastery over your mind and sense organs. But when you live a life karma yoga, you have relative mastery over your mind and sense organs. A sannyasi also has this. What does it mean? See, the sense organs will be constantly reporting the objects. What is seen by eyes, seen through eyes, what is heard through ears, what is smelled through nose, what is tasted to the tongue, what is felt through the skin, all the sense organs will report their corresponding objects to the mind. And they can report, but still, those objects, suppose you are weak-minded, then objects reported by the sense organs can cause disturbance in your mind. They can raise raga or dvesha. I want it, I like it, I don't like it, I hate it. Such things can happen. But here, sense organs only report, but they are allowed to do, no objects perceived, seen, or really cause any disturbance. Which means you have mastery over your sense organs. And then definitely you use your will, what in making use of them, what they perceive, what food is eaten, what is heard, what is watched, isn't it? In objects seen, objects heard, objects smelt, there you can use your will, you can withdraw your sense organs from unnecessary, unwanted things, which will disturb your mind. You can focus attention, you can take your attention, sense organs away from objects, which take your attention away from living a proper life. And such mastery is possible for a person who is committed to dharma, who is committed to pursuit of knowledge, and who knows, who has a certain degree of dispassion also, and who knows limitations of everything. Bhagavan says here, Vijita Indriyaha, the one who has mastery over his sense organs. The sense organs cannot drag my mind towards itself, towards anywhere. So one has mastery over his sense organs. Called Vijitendriyaha. So Vijita Atma, Vishuddha Atma, Vijita Indriyaha. Now, who is this? Karsa Yoga Yuktaha. Sarva Bhuta Atma Bhuta Atma. Sarva Bhuta Atma Bhuta Atma. The person for whose self is the self of all the beings. Sarvesham Bhutanam Atma. Yasya Atma. The one whose self is the one and the only self of all the beings. Whether you know, you do not know. Whether you accept, you do not accept. Actually speaking, your self is the only self of all the beings. The only self of all the beings is one and the same. Whether we know or we do not know. This is a fact. Whereas the person who accepts the Shastram, for the wise person who has discovered the self, for him, the self of all the beings is the only self. Therefore, his own self is the self of all the beings. Because his own real nature, the real nature of all the beings. If a person has discovered, he is Sarvabhuta, Atmabhuta, Atma. Sarvabhuta, Atmabhuta, Atma. The one whose self is the only self of all beings. Suppose the person has not yet become a jnani, but still in his understanding, because of his understanding, he sees that all the beings essentially are one and the same. The only self, myself, is self of all the beings. But the person who sees that, Sarva Bhuta Sarvesham Bhutanam Atma Bhuta Atma. The one whose self is the self of all the beings. Sarva Bhuta Atma Bhuta Atma. Such a person, look at this. Man of this qualification. Okay. Kurvan Api Na Lipyate. Even if he is performing actions, kurvanne api. Api means what? Here api literally means also, but here you should take it as even if he is performing actions, in spite of doing all his activities, na lipyate, he is not touched, tainted by the karma, which means what? He is free from, he is not touched by the karma. He is not touched by karma means he is not afflicted by punya papams. Even if he is doing, he is not afflicted by the punya papams, the results of actions. He is free. Why? Because he is free from the He is not thinking, I am the doer. But he is doing it carefully. Even though there is no entertainment, thought, I am the doer, but he is doing it attentively, carefully, with the Shraddha, trying to do his as perfectly as possible, the proper attitude. He is doing properly, trying his, no, as perfectly as possible, attentively, wholeheartedly, with a commitment to Dharma, but still he is not affected, afflicted by the results. Kurvannapina lipyate. So if you do not want to be afflicted by the results of actions, do not want to be touched by the karma, then how should your person be? He says, Vishuddhatma, Vijitatma, Jitendriya, Sarvabhuta, Atmabhuta, Atma, Kurvannapina lipyate. Is it clear? So literal meaning you have seen. Yoga yukto vishuddhatma vijitatma jitendriyah sarvabhotatma bhotatma kurvannapina lipyate. So having mastery over one's body, mind, sense complex, as a pure-minded, a person who lives a life of karma yoga, finally becomes the self which is the only self of all beings. How does he become? Karma yogi becomes self of all beings means what? Karma yogi becomes the self of only self, which is self of all beings, means karma yogi discovers the truth. Karma yogi discovers the reality of the whole, implied by the term atma, as one's own self, as the very truth of I. By discovering the truth, so discovering the truth, claiming one's real nature being Atma, is becoming Atma. When he discovers the Atma, he claims the Atma as the self, and he sees the fact of the self being the only self of all beings. Which means he attains Jnanam. He discovers freedom. Thereby what happens? Then he becomes free from doership and enjoyership. Thereby, he is not affected by, tainted or touched by the results of actions or actions, even if he is performing the actions, even if he is doing actions. Okay? So, karma yogi, sarvabhuta, atmabhuta, atma bhavati. The person ultimately becomes the self of all beings. Means he doesn't become the self of all beings. What it implies is he discovers his own self. He discovers the truth as the very self. Thereby he discovers the same self being the only self of all beings. Such a person is free from doership and enjoyership. In understanding what is there is only Bhagavan, only the truth. Therefore, let us see the meaning now. It is literal meaning. So, we have already seen the earlier six verses. And Bhagavan really presented the comparison of both Grastha Ashramaha and Sannyasa Ashramaha, or Grastha's life and a Sannyasi's, Vidisha Sannyasi's lifestyle. Okay? He presented the comparison of both the ashramas. And also, Bhagavan made very clear, both the ashramas serve their purposes, both are effective, both are equally great, etc., we said earlier. But he also finally concluded in the previous verse, but even though both are equally great, he said, it is, sannyasa involves a much greater effort. It is difficult if a person is not prepared. So what is better is living a life karma yoga as a grihastha is better for the most of the people in the society. That is what is finally he concluded, implying that fact. Now here, what does Bhagavan do in the seventh verse? So please, if you look at the verse carefully, you can see Bhagavan presents in all the disciplines. The disciplines, every individual has to follow. In the seventh verse, Bhagavan Krishna presents the disciplines every individual has to follow. Whether you live as a spiritual person, as a person of Purushartha Nischeha, as a person committed to the pursuit of knowledge, whether you live a grihastha's life as a karma yogi, or whether you live as a sannyasi, whether you are a vanaprasthi, doesn't matter whoever you are, every individual has to follow these disciplines, irrespective of the stage of life you are in, you're going through. Which means, in practicing these disciplines, you know, there is no choice. Everyone has to go through all these sadhanas. Everyone has to follow these disciplines. So he says, only a grihastha should live. No, follow these disciplines. A sannyasi need not. No, not like that. A sannyasi, a grihastha, vanaprasthi, every individual, whoever is aspiring for jnanam and moksha, should follow these disciplines. Krishna presents them here. So, what are those disciplines? Which should be followed? How? No, that is made very clear. See, if you see the order, how he begins the order. Okay, see that from the first line. Here it is presented very carefully. So Bhagavan, remembering the fact he has already suggested, mentioned, that grihastha ashrama is better than sannyasa ashramaha, even though both are equally great, that he already mentioned. So remembering that fact, Bhagavan first mentions a karma yogi. He mentions therefore, yoga yukta. The verse begins with the word yoga yuktaha. Why he begins the word yoga yuktaha? Yoga yuktaha means a karma yogi. So, as a karma yogi, what should one do? No? Yoga yuktaha means a person who lives a life karma yoga, what he should do? So, it means whoever it is, one has to live a life of karma yoga first. And that karma yoga, how can I understand? It was introduced in second chapter, briefly discussed in second chapter, briefly again elaborately discussed in third chapter. Therefore, one has to live a life of karma yoga. Okay? We know very well, he entertains proper attitude, he is committed to live a life of dharma, He has balanced mind. He has prasada buddhi, Ishwar prasada buddhi, Isharpana buddhi, etc. You know very well. And the person who is, he pursues material ends in conformity with dharma, ultimately for spiritual end. This is, you know this very well. Therefore, even the person, a karma yogi, pursues all other ends, still because his commitment to dharma, he can manage his likes and dislikes, desires, and he is able to, he has certain mastery over his ways of thinking and mind. He remembers this. Then, once a person has this mastery, then he says, Vishuddhatma. Next verse comes what now? We come across here, Vishuddhatma. That is how he becomes a pure-minded. So, living of karma yoga, he becomes pure-minded. When he is a pure-minded, he has mastery over his mind. Thereby, he also has what now? He has mastery over his, not only, he has mastery over his body, mind, sense complex. And that is how he attains jnanam. He becomes qualified for jnanam. Then, by going through jnana yoga, he attains jnanam. Once he attains jnanam, he sees the fact of the self being only self of all the beings. And such a person attains naishkarmyam. He attains, naishkarmyam means actionlessness. Attainment of actionlessness implies attainment of moksha, which means he becomes free from doership and enjoyership. Thereby, he is not at all incurring any punya papam. He is not touched by any punya papa. That order is presented here. So, for a person to become, to have mastery over his sense organs, to have mastery over his mind, to conquer one's mind, one must become pure-minded. For becoming pure-minded, one must live a life of karma yoga. That is the order there. If all that is there, then one can discover the fact. One can, then jnana yoga will be effective for him. Shravanam will be effective for him. Thereby he can attain jnanam and he can discover the fact of the self being, the self of all the beings. And with being endowed with such a vision, this person, even if he is performing actions, he is not tainted by any punya papam. Is it clear? Do you see this order here? I may sound repetitive, but I want to see the order. Because I won't be doing this verse again for you. You are going to read by yourself later on. Okay. Yoga yukto vishuddhatma vijitatma jitendriyah sarva bhotatma bhotatma kurvanna pina lipyate. See the next verse now. Naiva kinchit karomiti yukto manyeta tattvavit. Pashyan shrunvan sprushan jigran ashnan gachan swapan swasan. I'll repeat it again. We have to read the verse number 8 and 9 together, because it won't be complete in one verse. Naiva kinchit karomiti yukto manyeta tattvavit. Naiva kinchit karomiti yukto manyeta tattvavit. Pashyan shrunvan sprishan jigran ashnan gachan swapan swasan. Pashyan shrinvan sprishan jigran ashnan gachan swapan swasan. Swapan swasan pralapan visrujan grannan. Pralapan visrujan grannan unmeshan nimeshannapi. Pralapan visrujan grannan unmeshan nimeshannapi. Indriyani indriyartheshu vartanta iti dharayan. ಇಂದ್ರಿಯಾಣೀಂದ್ರಿಯಾರ್ಥೇಷು ವರ್ತಂತ ಇತಿ ಧಾರಯನ್. ಸೊ ಹಿಯರ್ ಆಲ್ರೆಡಿ ವಾಟ್ ಹ್ಯಾಸ್ ಬಿನ್ ಸೆಡ್ ಇನ್ ದ ಪ್ರೀವಿಯಸ್ ವರ್ಸ್, ಭಗವಾನ್ ಕಮೆಂಟ್ಸ್ ಅಪಾನ್ ದ ಪ್ರೀವಿಯಸ್ ವರ್ಸ್, ಎಲಾಬರೇಟ್ಸ್ ಆನ್ ದ ಪ್ರೀವಿಯಸ್ ವರ್ಸ್. ವಾಟ್ ಡಿಡ್ ಹಿ ಸೇ? ಹಿ ಪ್ರೆಸೆಂಟೆಡ್ ದಿ ಆರ್ಡರ್. A person lives a life of karma yoga, thereby becomes pure minded. As a pure minded, he has mastery over his mind, thereby he is also has mastery over his body, mind and complex. Being qualified for jnanam, he attains jnanam, and once he attains jnanam, he has the vision and he sees the self being the self of all the beings. That's all. In a clear vision of the self being atma, he becomes all wrong, no, free from all wrong notions. Therefore, he is free from, he is not affected by, even if he is doing, he has no punya papam. He is not touched by punya papam. That he made very clear, he is free. Now Bhagavan says, same thing is, he elaborates on the same verse. Yuktaha, yuktaha, manyeta. See, manyeta means, manyate means, considers, thinks. Okay? Manyate or manyeta. Here it is there. Manyate. One thinks. Manyate literally means considers. Okay? But here you should understand. One clearly understands. Manyate literally means considers, thinks. But here, actually, may one understand is the literal meaning. We should take it as present tense. Instead of taking it as a mood, take it as a present tense verb. One clearly understands. Who understands clearly? Manyate, one understands. Who understands clearly here? Yuktaha. Yuktaha understands. Okay, Yuktaha, Yuktaha Purushaha understands. Who is Yuktaha here? Tattvavit. Tattvavit. So the Yuktaha implies the person who is highly disciplined. Yuktaha means the disciplined, the person who lived a life of karma yoga, thereby who has become disciplined, absolutely disciplined minded. Who is now? He is tattvavit, knower of the truth. Tattvam veti iti tattvavit. Tattvam veti iti tattvavit. One who knows the truth is what? Tattvavit. Now this karma yogi, absolutely disciplined minded, now as he knows the truth, he is a tattvavit, a wise person. A karma yogi becomes qualified for jnanam, accomplishes jnanam, then he is a jnani. He is a householder, no, but still now he is a jnani. Okay, he is a wise person, tattvavit. And tattvavit, yuktaha tattvavit, highly disciplined knower of truth, manyate understands. The knower of the truth understands this fact. To understand the fact, you must be the knower of the truth. What is that fact he understands clearly? He says, aham, see, naiva kinchit karomi iti manyate. Yuktaha tattvavit kinchit naiva karomi iti manyeta. Okay, the highly disciplined, wise, the knower of the truth understands the fact clearly that I do not perform anything, even little at all. I do not perform anything at all. Kinchit naiva karomi. I do not perform at all anything. I do not do anything at all. I do not do anything at all. He understands this fact. It means I does not do anything at all. I do not do anything at all. Why I say I? He sees the fact of the self being free from doership and enjoyership. Why? For him, I is Atma, the consciousness. I am Atma, the consciousness. He has clear vision. Wave is water. Okay, so he says for him, I am Atma, Brahma, the all-pervasive reality, the consciousness in which all activities are happening. But I am, okay, I the Atma am free from all actions, all activities. I am free from all enjoyments. Okay, I am neither the doer nor the enjoyer. That is very clear for him. Therefore, he thinks, he understand the fact, aham is not that I'm adding, okay? Kinchit naiva karomi, I do not do any action at all. Iti, thus, he understands, thus understands highly disciplined knower of the truth. But even though he understands the fact, I am not the doer of anything at all, what does he do? Does he sit simply without doing any action? Is he sitting there without doing anything? No. He is involved in all activities. To say he is very busy, very active physically like any other ignorant person, he is doing all forms of activities, but he understands the fact that I do not do any action at all. What all he does? That is said here, Pashyan. See, it's called present participle, isn't it? Pashyan, seeing. You want to say, you want to say present continuous. Suppose you want to say, Balaha patam patati. Balaha patam patan asti. Patati reads. Patan asti is reading. Okay, patan means is reading. So that we get, so we are going to see in the like camp time, I'll teach you this new aspect of the grammar. Pashyan, here see. Pashyan, seeing. Shrunvan, listening, hearing. Sprishan, touching. Jigran, smelling. Ashnan, eating. Gachan, going. Swapan, sleeping. Shwasan, breathing. Pralapan, talking. Visrujan, no, excreting, evacuating. Grinnan, holding, receiving, absorbing. Unmission, opening. Nimishan, closing. Opening the eye is called Unmishati, Nimishati. Unmishati means opens the eye. Nimishati, closes the eye. So, keeping the eye open, closing the eye, keeping the eye closed, closing his eyes. Nimishan api. He is doing all sorts of activities, which means all his sense organs are involved in all functions. The seeing happening, he sees, he hears, he smells, he tastes, he touches, he talks. He makes the best use of all his sense powers. He is perceiving objects through the sense organs. And he is making use of all his organs of actions. He holds, he walks, he talks. He keeps his eyes closed. He opens his eyes, he closes his eyes. He evacuates, He is involved in all forms of functions and actions. Tattvavit, he is a knower of the truth, but still he is like any other ignorant person. He is involved in all activities. He makes use of his sense organs and organs of actions. He perceives objects. He is physically involved in all activities. Still, what does he understand? In his understanding, he understands clearly, I do not perform any action at all. Aham kinchit naiva karomi iti. Thus he thinks, if a person thinks it will not work. That's why I wanted to use the word understands. He's not simply thinking, doing everything. If you think you are not the doer, you cannot become the non-doer. Non-doer means you must understand the fact. Isn't it? How you are? You are Atma. If identity is with Atma, and Atma is reality, all-pervasive reality, obtaining in the form of knowledge, which is of the nature of actionlessness. If identity is with Atma, you are a non-doer. If identity is with the Anatma, body, mind, sense complex, and you can't help the having the notion, I am the doer. So here you are not entertaining the notion, that's because you want to. In wrong identity, you helplessly entertain the notion. In right identity, effortlessly the notions resolve, wrong notions resolve. There's a right understanding of the fact. Okay, that's what is said in this verse. So, indriyani indriya artheshu vartante iti dharayan. And he also, iti dharayan, indriyani, indriya artheshu vartante. So indriyani means sense organs, seeing power, hearing power, power of smelling, power of taste, power of touch, all five subtle sense powers. Indriya artheshu vartante. Vartante, atmanepam, you know that. Vartante means are there, remain. What are remaining there? Indriyani vartante means sense powers are there. Where? In indriya artheshu, in sense objects. So, indriya artha means sense object. Artha, indriya artha, indriyasya artha, indriya artha. Indriya artha means sense object. Indriyani, indriya artheshu vartante. So sense powers are in their corresponding sense objects. Sense powers are perceiving, are in contact with, in association with, or in, or sense powers remain in their corresponding sense objects. Indriyani indriya artheshu vartante. Seeing power is in light, in all the objects shine in light. Hearing power is with its corresponding object sound. Power of smelling is in association with corresponding object smell, fragrance or stink. The power of taste is in association with this object. So whenever any function takes place, are you the performer? Are you smelling? Are you tasting? No. All the function means powers, functions of sense organs means sense powers coming in contact with their sense organs, sense powers remaining in their corresponding objects is called what? Perception. It's a function. So here we say, senses are in their corresponding sense objects. Indriyani indriya artheshu vartante. Why? I am I objectify my sense organs. I objectify my sense objects also. Sense powers are objects of my knowledge. Sense objects also are objects of my knowledge. Sense powers as well as sense objects are objects of my knowledge. Whereas I, the knower, am Atma, distinct from sense organs and sense powers. I am Atma, the consciousness. In my presence, sense powers are functioning. Sense objects are perceived. Okay, all functions are happening. He sees, this person is seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting. Pashan, Shunvan, Sprushan, Jigran, Ashnan. All functions are happening. But he says what? Aham Indriyani Indriyarteshu Vartante. Iti Dharayan. Holding on to the fact, clearly having understanding this fact, the sense powers are in their corresponding sense objects. Then, and physically also he is doing everything. What does he do? First, Pralapan, Visrujan, Grinnan, Unmishan, Nimishan api. So involved, this wise person, Tattvavit, involved in involuntary functions, also involved in voluntary actions. He is performing will-involved actions. He is also involved in involuntary functions. All are happening. He is doing everything. In spite of involved in functions and actions, he is very clear. He has a clear understanding of the fact that I do not do any action at all. I don't perform any action at all. How is it possible for him? In spite of doing, how is it possible for him to, he's not simply thinking. He sees the fact. He understands the fact. Because he has shifted his eyes, ahankara, eye sense from body, mind, sense complex. He is endowed with the body, mind, sense complex. But he is very clear, I, the self, am Atma. And Atma is a word implying the reality, the consciousness, which is of the nature of actionlessness. Therefore, I, the self, am the truth, which is of the nature of actionlessness. I am actionless Atma. But in Atma, the truth, all the actions, all the functions are happening. I am free from, okay, all activities. For I am not the performer of anything. He is not saying it. He understands. He sees this fact. Who is this person? Tattvavit. For a person to understand this fact, to see this fact, a person must be knower of the truth. Knower of the truth, for him the truth is the self. Knower of the truth means he is not the truth, is for him, not an object for him. The knower of the truth, for the knower of the truth, truth is very self, very truth of I. For him, the one's own real nature, where he resolves his I. The truth, knower of the truth is the one who has claimed the truth as the very self. And he is Tattvavit. Okay? Truth is not an object for him. Very self. Very one's own real nature. Therefore, in spite of doing all these things, one has resolved his essence in the very truth, Ahankara in reality. Therefore, sees the self as the Atma, Brahma. Such a person, in spite of being involved in all activities, he very clearly understands the fact, Aham kinchit naiva karomi. Indriyani indriyarteshu vartante. The respective powers are in their corresponding, the sense powers are in association with the corresponding objects. Powers of organs of actions are in their corresponding objects of action. The legs are involved in walking, running. Hands are involved in giving and doing, holding. Okay. He is objective. cognitively, he's objective towards his own organs of actions, towards organs of functions, organs of actions and knowledge. Therefore, he is objective. Therefore, he can see the fact, he is not the doer. Okay? This is the elaboration of what has been said before. I am going to stop the class now. Let us see the verse again. See, yuktaha tattvavit pashyan shunvan sprishan jigran ashnan gachan swapan swasan palapan visrajan grinnan unmishan nimishan api indriyani indriyarteshu vartante iti dharayan aham naiva kinchit karomi iti manyeta is the fourth order. Naiva kinchit karomiti yukto manyeta tattvavit pashyan shrinvan sprushan jigran ashnan gachan swapan swasan pralapan visrujan grinnan unmishan nimishannapi. If you want to break it there, be very careful. Pralapan visrujan grinnan unmishan nimishannapi. Otherwise, you should not break it. Pralapan visrujan grinnan unmishan nimishannapi. Indriyani indriyartheshu. Indriyani indriyartheshu vartanta iti dharayan indriyani indriya artheshu indriyani indriyartheshu indriyani indriyartheshu vartanta iti dharayan. So this is the benefit of knowledge accomplished by going through the discipline of Jnana Yoga is discussed in this verse. What is discussed in these two verses? The benefit of knowledge accomplished through the attainment of knowledge attained by going through the discipline of Jnana Yoga involving Shravanam, Mananam, Nididhyasanam. And who accomplishes this? A Karma Yogi accomplishes this knowledge by becoming qualified for this knowledge. Even when a person is seeing, hearing, touching, smelling, eating, moving about, you know, breathing, talking, evacuating, keeping eyes open and closed, and this highly disciplined person who has discovered the truth understands the fact, I do not do anything at all. And remembering, okay, holding in his mind the fact that the sense organs remain in their corresponding sense objects. So what Bhagavan says, the person who lives properly a life of Karma Yoga as a grihastha naturally, effortlessly will go through Jnana Yoga. Thereby he'll accomplish Jnanam. And ultimately, he'll be blessed with this vision, wisdom. Okay, we'll continue next class. I want you to remember, swapan. There, sakara is dental. Shvasan, there sha is palatal. Swapan, shvasan. Okay? Remember, swapan, shvasan. Swapan Shvasan. Swapan Shvasan. I'll tell you the corresponding verbs next class. In Sanskrit class, I'll tell you. Don't worry. And then Pralapan Unmishan. Pralapan Visujan Grinnan. Grinnati Grinnan. Holding. Absorbing. Receiving. Then Unmishan. Unmishan. Unmishati opens. Nimishati closes. Okay. Unmishati. Unmishan. Nimishan. This you have to remember. So manyeta should be taken as manyate. And manyate is what does it mean? What does it mean here? Understands. Is it clear? Clear or not? Yes, sir. Yes, doctor.
It's clear. That's what.
Unmishan, nimishan. Does that remind? Unmishan, nimishan. Is that with the eyes or is that something else?
No, eyes only.
Eyes only. Okay.
See, unmishati itself means one word. Unmishati itself means opens the eye. Nimishati closes the eye. So unmishan means opening the eye. Nimishati, nimishan means closing the eye.
Swamini.
Yeah?
The shifting of the eye sense. You said that the one who has shifted his eye sense, is that something that takes place because of his understanding or what is it?
Shifting the eye sense means it's a cognitive shift, not physical, isn't it? See, I am the body. When you think, where is your eye sense? Eye sense is identified, associated with the body, isn't it? See, you can't have the knowledge without the body mind sense complex. The person, the individual human being who has body mind sense complex alone can have the knowledge. So, but when you're in spite of having the body also, you must be able to be objective towards your own body. Which means you don't have, as a wise person, one cannot have identity with the body as the self. Not taking the body as the self, being objective towards one's own body as my body, isn't it? I am distinct from the body. I am not distant from the body. I cannot get rid of the body. I am, but I am not the body. Understand what I'm saying? I am distinct from the body. Which means I sense, what is I am? The knowledge of existence of the self, obtaining in the form of a thought, when it rises, it is waking state. That I sense, which is I am, is what? Distinct from the body. I am the knower. I am the experiencer. I am the enjoyer. I am the perceiver. I am the observer. I am different from the body which is known. This understanding is what cognitively, intellectually shifting one's eye sense from body. Then similarly, you cognitively understand how your sense powers or objects are knowledge. Your powers of organs of actions are objects of knowledge. Physiological functions are objects of knowledge. And you see your own emotions are objects of knowledge. Your intellect, your memory, your emotions are all objects of experience, objects of knowledge. When you see all of the objects of knowledge, and who are you? So you are the experiencer, you are the knower. Which means the subject, the knower, is distinct from all the known. Isn't it? So knower is different from the known. Knower is distinct from the known. Knower is not distant from the known. Not distant, but distinct from the known. Different from the known. Isn't it true or not? So, Shastra study helps you distinguish the knower from the known, and on distinguishing the knower from the known, you discover the knower being Atma. If you don't even distinguish the knower from the known, there's no way of discovering the knower being Atma. If the knower, I the knower, if I'm distinct, though not distant from the body, mind, sense complex, and who am I the knower, is this discovery of what I am itself is possible only if you are clear that what you are not. So the Shastra study, the methodology helps you understand first, convinces you what I am not. And to understand what I am not, you need to, this methodology helps you to distinguish the knower from the known. Knower and the known are not the same. Knower is distinct from the known. The body is known. Sense organs are known. Powers of organs of actions are known. Physiological functions are known. Mind is known. All different varieties of thoughts are all known. Everything is known. Finally, and who is the knower here? Who is the knower? Will you not say, I am the knower? The body is known to whom? The world is known to whom? Who is the knower of the world? Who is the experience of the world? You will say, I am the knower of the world. I am the experience of the world. And if you are the experiencer, the knower, if you are the observer, and aren't you distinct? Aren't you, no, one has, we have to distinguish this knower from the known. And definitely you can see you are the knower distinguished, distinct from the known. Once it is very clear, and who is this knower, you will ask. And Shastra will help you understand this I, the knower, am, which is distinct from the known body, mind, sense complex. Distinct knower, am, Atma. If you don't, first of all, if you don't distinguish, there's no way of discovering what you are. You have to know what you are, what you are not first to know what you are. Actually, you don't need to know what you are. You just know what you are not. Then you will claim what you are. To claim what you are, Shastra will help you. Okay? You don't even know what you are. You just claim what you are. To claim what you are, you need to know what you are not. Shastram helps. And this, gradually, carefully, through using, through methodology, without, with the understanding you have, without any contradiction. Methodology, when you use, Shastram uses the methodology to distinguish yourself from the known as the knower, you can see how the teaching does not contradict your reasoning. See, not only the world of objects external to the body is object of knowledge. The world of objects external to the body is object of knowledge. There's no problem. We have no problem. But to see one's own body, physical body, which is said to be the abode of enjoyment, is an object of knowledge. Not only that, your power, sense powers, their instruments of knowledge are also objects of knowledge. The powers of organs of actions, instruments of actions are also objects of knowledge. All your antahkaranam, the mind itself, enjoying four different functional names as ahankara, as mind, as memory, as intellect, four different names and varieties of thoughts which rise, which are available for experience. The thoughts, emotions, which you don't see through physical eyes, but still they're available for thought perception, isn't it? You know your jealousy, you know your hatred, you know your anger, you know your pain, you know your anxiety, you know your fear. Where are they? Where is the fear? Where is anger? Where are ragadveshas? Where are likes and dislikes? Where are disease? Where is greed? Where is jealousy? Where is envy? Where is pain? Where is enthusiasm? Where is pleasure? Where is pain? They're all experienced. So we say all those subtle phenomena are in the form of thoughts. And even though in the form of thoughts, they're also subtle internal objects of your knowledge. They're all known to you. And you are the knower, distinct from even those emotions. That is how, actually, see, if you listen to the very beginning, fundamental, basic kindergarten lessons I did in the very beginning, there I repeat this many times. Until now, actually, I would have repeated so many times that, the basic preparation. There, the methodology also used in Shastram, built in Shastram, that it helps you understand the fact, understand what you are not. What you are not means what? Not to say I am not this. It's very wrong to say I am not the body. Okay? It is not to say I am not the body, but to understand, to distinguish the I sense. Okay? To distinguish the aham, asmi. It's just the knowledge. To distinguish the knower from the known. And thereafter, you have to see that I am the knower. And thereafter, who the knower is. Understanding who you are. Essentially. So, and this understanding is called what? Shifting cognitively one's I sense from non-self to the self. Doesn't happen overnight. Understanding. Is it clear?
I see much clearer than before. I'll still have to think about it.
No. Shifting means not physically, because it's shifting means not physically shifting. It's a cognitive, intellectually shifting. Mm-hmm. Okay. It means a person sees this. For all these things to happen and for understanding to happen, even the listening, the shravanam, repeated shravanam, then clear understanding, and without any doubts, and repeatedly dwelling upon the fact of what I am, then assimilating it, then the person has what? He can say, aham brahma asmi, aham atma, I am atma. I am Atma, when you discover, you will say everything else is also Atma. Body is Atma, mind is Atma, sense organs are Atma, physiological functions are Atma. In the entire object, the world is Atma. That's also another fact, not only your Atma. I am Atma means everything else is also Atma. What about the body? Body is essentially Atma. Sense organs are Atma. Mind is Atma. Everything is Atma. The entire world is Atma. All that is there is only Atma. Only Atma. You see that everything is Atma, you can say Paramatma. If you isolate yourself from the whole, then you are a Jiva Atma. There's no Jiva Atma or Paramatma. There's only Atma. Two different adjectives added. Is it clear? That is why it is very, well, some people know, they say, I'm not the body. That is not knowledge, okay? It's only methodology. Finally, you should say, Aham Atma, everything is Atma. All it is here is only Atma. That is the clear vision. If you say, oh, I'm not the body, then I'm consciousness, I'm Atma. And everything else is what? Everything else is essentially Atma. Atma means everything else essentially the truth, the reality. Abstract, subtlest reality essentially. Okay, empirically, in appearance, that is gross world, subtle universe, everything. Essentially, everything is the truth. And that you can't know the truth by exploring in the world as an object. You can never arrive at the truth as an object exploring the world. And we appreciate Shastram because Shastram gives us the clue, hint. The truth is available for, even though everything is the truth, what is only the truth, truth alone is in the form of everything, still truth is available for recognition. Truth can be discovered as the truth, only as the very truth of the subject of knowledge. Truth of the knower, I. Truth can never be discovered, arrived at as an object of knowledge. Once you arrive at the truth, you resolve even the subject-object division. The knower known duality, knower known division will be resolved in discovering the truth. Until discovery, there will be knower known difference. The knower known division also is not denied. Knower known division will continue to be there afterwards also. But knower known division is only relatively real, objectively real. Absolutely, there's no knower known other than the truth. You have to arrive at the truth as the truth of the knower, then that will help you understand the same truth being the truth of the known also. Then you'll say everything is the truth. And the truth is not the doer. Truth is not the enjoyer. Truth is not sufferer. But there's no sufferer, doer, enjoyer, doing. The knower is the truth. Known is the truth. Knowing is the truth. Performer is the truth. Performance is the truth. Performed action also is the truth. But truth is neither the performer nor the performed action, not the performance of an action. Truth is not anything, but everything is the truth. And I am the truth. That's the fact you have to discover. Then all the notions you ended about yourself will resolve naturally. It's not just overnight business, okay? It is assimilation of the subtle fact. That's why repeatedly you have to listen. Being taught by Bhagavan Krishna, Arjuna had doubts. So Krishna had to teach 18 chapters. Is it clear, Tristan?
You discovered like the understanding is that that's in the presence of the obstacles and notions, and they all seem to get in the way.
Yeah. Of course, they'll all be there. That is why understanding takes time. Understanding comes, understanding will be there, but vagueness will be there, doubts will be there, obstacles will be so many. Pratibandhas, you can't help obstacles being there. Lots of problems will be there. That is why we said three times Shanti, Adhyatmikatapa, Adibhautikatapa, Adidaivikatapa. My God, Adibhautikatapa will be so many. There will be so many obstacles. Our own emotions, Adhyatmikatapa. We don't need to worry about it. The Shastram says obstacles will be naturally there. That is why it is, and then one has to become mentally also very subtle. Repeated listening with a focused attention, with any distraction, with a commitment, without feeling tired and bored with the repetition. You keep repeatedly listening, in due course of time will make you adequately subtle, mentally subtle. And subtler you become, the more you grasp, more understanding will have. And even clarity will enhance. That is why it has to happen for length of time. So Shravana means listening to the unfoldment of the teaching systematically for a length of time, not in one class, two classes. Okay? So you're on the right track, everything will be perfectly all right. Don't worry. The thing is, when you listen sometimes, you want to overnight, you want it. That enthusiasm, that happens. And people get fed up. My God, I've been here for 40 years, nothing happens. The impatience also comes. So it's natural. Again, Shastra study itself will give you that strength to be patient. To have patience also, you need certain maturity. When you're immature, you'll be impatient also. But being impatient, being mature is not wrong, not a crime. Don't need to worry. As long as you hold on to Shastra. That's why Shruti is always likened to a mother. Okay? Hold on to mother. Shastra mother. And then our clarity will be taken care of. Don't leave her and go away. Hold on to Shruti Mata. That's enough. You hang around Shruti Mata. Hang around means what? Always being with Shastra Mata. Understanding happens. Understanding doesn't happen. Vagueness is there. Is there not? Doesn't matter. Be with the teaching continuously. And your clarity will be gradually taken care of. Enhancement. The clarity will be enhancing gradually. That's why we don't need to worry about it. Swami used to say, Chakkani Rajamargamo. The royal path laid. Yes, you're already in the track of Shastra, way of life, laid by Shastra. Don't worry. There will be destination you will reach. Om Shanti 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 Shubharatri.